to Pursuing True North's Truth of the Week series. I'm Catherine King.
And I'm Jenny Scioto. This week's Truth of the Week is 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. New King James Version. Another song.
Are you going to sing for us?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
Maybe one of these days.
You did play that for me, didn't you?
Yes, yes, I did.
And it was the first time I had heard it. And you looked at me like I had 10 heads. I didn't hear that song, though. I didn't know that one. But it's an amazing verse, and it should have been turned into a song. So, good for them. I love that it just says, you are of God.
And you're greater than the one that's in the world. So he's talking about Satan, for anyone who doesn't know. He who is in the world is, Satan is referred to.
The ruler of this world.
Yes. So God is in us, and he is greater than even the ruler of the world.
And you can see that with the evil that's here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's obviously, the evil is not, the evil is not of God. The evil is of Satan, and everything has already been overcome.
Yes. God, the only evil that's even in this world is really allowed by God and not condoned by God. I'm not, mishear me. But God's omnipotent, and he understands that we need refinement, and he doesn't want us to be hurting, but he does allow some pain in order for us to be able to see his glory.
Absolutely. And I hate to be the kind of person who spits out a verse without exactly where it is, but there is the verse that in the, and I know it's in the New Testament, where God says, I subjected the world in futility, but not without hope. Yeah. So it's definitely true that the hostility and the evil is here, and he knew that would be here. But the hope and the future and everything that's already been overcome is so much greater than anything that we are going to experience here. Yeah. And this is very temporary. So John, in this chapter, was very much understanding that the new Christians were scared of some of the evil and deceiving spirits that were out there trying to teach on behalf of Christ. And they were confused because this whole movement of Gnosticism was going on at the time, and they were scared.
Just explain real quick what Gnosticism is for.
Okay, yes. I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm sorry. So Gnosticism is denying Jesus really did have a human body and was not both divine and human. So they're separating the Jesus that we know is truth, who came in human form, but was still God. Mm-hmm. They were saying those two are mutually exclusive, can't happen. And that's not biblically sound, because Jesus was both man and God without sin. And that made him the perfect sacrifice for us. And there were people running around at the time saying that that wasn't true, and that that wasn't really Jesus. Jesus was not the Christ. And it was scaring the Christians.
Trying to confuse them.
Yes. And John understood what was happening and was like, hey, let me talk to you, even within the book of First John. He addresses the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And he talks to believers about testing the spirits and making sure they're of God, because God gives us, it's kind of like intuition, but it's the Holy Spirit kind of saying, hey, this, you know, when the little discernment flags go up.
Yeah. This isn't quite right.
Right.
Exactly. Something's wrong here.
And at the time, I mean, they didn't have the luxury that we do of having the Bible at home and in our laps, where we can constantly be reading these things.
Christianity was brand spanking new at this point.
So I understand why they were scared. And yeah.
And I mean, think about it. Even nowadays, we get scared. There's a lot of evil in the world, and because of the lovely social media and the lovely, which we're on all the things too. So, but, and the lovely, you know, the news that comes into our homes, but even everything that comes into the school system, we constantly as parents get scared of what is our children going to be subjected to and how do we protect them or how do we educate them so that if they are exposed to this, they'll be okay and spiritually sound. I mean, we get all wrapped around the axle. I'm getting wrapped around just talking about it. It's really hard. I understand and sympathize and see the need of 1 John because he kind of tries to put the reader at ease and he addresses us as little children and dear friends and all of these things. He is being tender to us in this chapter. It's kind of
nice. Oh, he really is. And I think just that basic first statement in this verse, you are of God. So what does, and I know this is going to sound basic, but I looked up Merriam-Webster's definition for of, and of indicates a point of reckoning and reason. So God's a part of us.
We are from God. He fully had his hand. He's all up in our grill.
Yeah, he is. I love that. It could not be more perfect. Yes.
We are his.
So if you let that, just that part sink in, that should help dispel some of the fears that we have.
And it's one of those that should give you confidence in going with those. If you have that discernment flag that goes up, or some people call it your conscience or something inside, a spidey sense, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is really trying to like yell in your brain and say, don't go in there, or don't do that,
or don't believe this, yes, or don't follow this person because their teachings aren't sound, or, and it this may not seem truth. Popular,
yeah,
but you gotta listen to that.
You gotta listen to it. It is so hard nowadays because people are calling out people that aren't going with the flow and bashing other people. So nobody really wants to stand out anymore. And they get afraid of saying, no, this is not right. This is not what God wants for me. This is not what I should be teaching my children.
That's right. It's one of the things I've had to explain to our oldest who's in middle school. If you believe this, sweetheart, you don't have to go running around and parading and shouting at people what you're doing is wrong all the time. Like, that is no way of bringing people to Christ by just throwing guilt and screaming at them. I'm not saying you should not, when addressed or asked about something, stand up and say, okay, I don't believe this. And it's hard to do because people, a lot of times, if they don't hold the same view as you, they don't understand it or are going to take it kindly, even if you say it kindly. And that's one of the things I've had to explain to her. This will not always be popular. People will say things and treat you differently if you stand up for what you believe. I was
true.
But the end, we've overcome them though. It's all overcome. And that's a wonderful thing to hang on to.
Is that this is temporary. God has overcome the world. We need to stay the course. It's important to remember that we are God's children. He has overcome the world. We are greater than all of the evil out there. And that this stuff is all temporary. It will too pass. Keeping these things in perspective is really important. And it's one of those where we also have to walk that fine line too, because I know a lot of people are preaching a lot of grace now. And grace is really important. We do need to offer grace to each other. But we are also supposed to gently
correct
people that are already in the church, not going out like on social media, schooling everybody about what they're doing wrong. That's not what we're called to do. It clearly says in the church, we're to gently correct when we see a sin going on.
The word gently is definitely used in there too. It is not to shame or guilt trip people into stuff.
No.
That doesn't actually change anybody's mind on anything anyway.
No, not at all. And it's just, it's important that we give grace, but that even in the stone throwing situation where everyone wanted to throw stones at the woman and Jesus says, who among you is without sin, throw
the first stone.
you know, one by one, they all walk away and no one casts a stone. Jesus told that woman that he wouldn't cast one either, but he said, go and sin no more.
It's like, you're forgiven, but stop doing what you're doing.
Now that you've been told, like, now you know what you're doing wrong. Yes. Don't do it again. It's important that we kind of live in that. And when we are convicted of something, that we don't walk with the flow or go with the flow any longer. Whatever society's telling you to do, or whatever society is telling you, oh, it's okay. Yes, it's true that the one that's in us is greater than the world, but don't just go along with the flow.
We don't just follow. It's kind of, we can kind of boil it down to the question, are we of God or are we of the world? And our behavior and the choices we make are going to show which we follow.
Mm-hmm. And it's important that people show the light without kind of blinding people.
Yes, that's a beautiful way of putting it. I know the times that I feel like maybe I've been heard the most about my heart and about how I feel about God is when I just kind of talk about it from my perspective as far as what God's done for me and in my life, and more my testimony with things as opposed to pointing out and being harsh towards other people's, you know, sins, or maybe places where they could use some encouragement to get back on the horse or whatever. Instead of coming at it from a, well, you should be doing this or you should be doing that. It's, and being of God is being loving and being of sound mind and knowing your convictions and knowing what God says, and how we have that confidence in Him to make the decisions in our lives, whether they're popular or not. And we have to know that in the end, it's already been overcome. And the victory's already been had. Jesus was on the cross and said, it is finished. Mm-hmm. And that means it's done. So take heart. If you're walking with Christ and know His heart and know His ways and work your life out, work your salvation out in that respect, then you have nothing to fear.
Yes. And by knowing God's ways and knowing God's heart, that's exactly how we overcome the fear of what the world's evil is doing to ourselves and our families. By knowing God's heart, we can test the spirits. We can test false prophets. You can, every pastor you go see, you should be seeing if he aligns with your beliefs. Never ever just blindly follow someone. Never ever just blindly go with the flow. We are to know God's heart and test everything we allow into our minds.
Absolutely. And even with parenting, to teach our children, like, it's important for us to teach our children, don't just believe what you're told. Like, go make sure this makes sense. And it's true. And it's not just, well, this sounds good and this is what society has for us. I mean, it's definitely important to not only for ourselves know and act and represent Christ, but also that our children understand that as well. So we'd like to challenge you today to put a fresh look on your situation or your circumstances. And where you're waiting for victory in life, just hang on. Just look at it from the perspective of your God's. Take heart, take confidence that you're His, that you're in His hands, and your situation has already been taken care of. You're just walking through it, and you're going to see the victory. It may just not be right now, and sometimes it may not be something we get to totally see on this side, but we've already overcome, and we have victory already.
So glad you joined us today. Hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing, and catch all the new happenings at pursuingtruenorth.com.
Don't forget to like and share us. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next week.